Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. You need to learn how to truly live by every word. Here is your host, Brian Davis.
This is a dangerous world we live in, and it's getting more and more dangerous every day. We see disaster and evil, and we see murder and lies and deceit in the news continually. We see these evil powers, people that are ruling in different parts of the world, and we can see what horrible things they're doing to other people, and it can get quite discouraging and quite depressing if you allow it to. And there is an answer, though, that we, if we again look into God's Word and see exactly what the Word of God says, what has proceeded out of the mouth of God. In 2 Timothy 3, the Apostle Paul wrote this, verse 1, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." That word perilous means fierce times, dangerous times. Now, we can take comfort in knowing that this Bible, the Word of God, actually tells us in advance what is coming. It tells us in advance. We don't have to be surprised by what's happening in the world around us, but we do have to understand the seriousness of the times. These are perilous and fierce and dangerous times that we're living in. Verse 2 says, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy." Now, could you get a much better description of mankind today, where they just are lovers of themselves, they're full of lust and covetous, and they certainly are quick to boast about themselves, and proud, and disobedient, and unthankful, and all of what is being listed here. Verse 3, "Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God." Now, how about you and how about me? You see, are we lovers of pleasure, lovers of pleasures more than we are lovers of God? I think we would have to look at a lot of these events that we see on the news and a lot of the entertainment, so-called, in this world. And you have to admit, well, people are lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, and we have to fight against that. Verse 5, "Having a form of godliness," oh yes, they're all of what we're reading about here and what's being described, and yet these people claim to be religious. They claim to love God. You can see even a lot of the atrocities, a lot of the murders and the torture and the evil that is going on in the world today is done actually in the name of God. People saying that they're committing these unspeakable acts in the name of God. You see, they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power of it. From such, turn away. We have to turn away from those people. We have to turn away from that way of thinking. "For of this sort are they who creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lust." Notice verse 7, "ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." People in this world, it seems that they are ever learning. We've had this explosion of knowledge, explosion of understanding of science and medicine and technology, things that we use every day and don't really even understand how it works. And we have this learning and people ever learning, and yet, as it says here, another truthful prophecy, another truthful statement in God's Word, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. I told a man that one time. He just would study this and study that, and he had all of this knowledge. He was ever learning about all of these different things, and yet his life was a mess. His life was a wreck. And I quoted this verse to him that he was ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And he actually, he got quite offended at that statement. And yet, it's not me talking, it's God's word. God's word says that. And there are people that, and we can see in this world as a whole, that they are learning. They are ever learning, learning about all different sorts of things, and yet they don't learn and come to the knowledge of the truth. They don't learn and come to the knowledge of what the Word of God actually says. And the Word of God is truth. People say, well, what is truth? Well, Jesus Christ answered that in John 17 and verse 17, where praying to his Father, he said, your word is truth. God's word is truth. And that's what we have to look to if we want to come to the knowledge of the truth. But you see, just like that man who got offended, most people get offended when they hear something like this. They don't want to admit that they're ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Or they don't want to admit that they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. Or they don't want to admit that they're lovers of pleasures more than they are lovers of God. Those are hard things to admit, but we have to look at that ourselves and look at ourselves and examine that. King Solomon, in his prayer of dedication for the temple that was built in Jerusalem in ancient Israel about 3,000 years ago, he talked about every man knowing the plague of his own heart. You see, there is a problem in how we think of and by ourselves. The human heart, there is a problem. Notice Jeremiah 17 in verse 9. God inspired Jeremiah to write this. The heart, that human heart, you see, apart from God, the innermost thoughts of a human being, it says here, God's word says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? It asks the question. Who can know it? Who can know that deceitfulness of the human heart? You see, we are good at deceiving ourselves even. And we just, it may be hard to hear something like that or to read something like that, but it is what God's word says. And Christ said, live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Well, this is the word of God. This is what has proceeded from God, and he's revealing something to us that we should be thankful that he's revealing it, that he has made it clear that there is a problem if we just rely on our own human reasoning and our own way of thinking. The heart or the inner thoughts of the human mind, in the deepest recesses of the mind, it is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and who can know it? Verse 10 goes on and gives the answer. I, the Eternal, search the heart, and I try the reins or the consciousness, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. So I'm not bringing this up to discourage anyone or to put anyone down, but just to acknowledge the fact of this is what God's word says about how we think and what how our minds are apart from God. And it explains why things are the way that they are in this world as human beings with this plague in their own heart, this heart that is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked that we can't even know of and by ourselves. We have to have God's help in this. He's the one that searches the heart and tries the reins. And of course, then Satan, being the god of this world, as Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4, and he deceives the entire world, John wrote, the Apostle John wrote in Revelation 12 and verse 9. And you can begin to understand why the world is the way that it is. You can begin to understand why there are certain problems that we have in our own lives. And we can then look into God's word and see the solution, see the answers, and start turning our lives around and going in the right direction. In Proverbs 3, again, going back to the very wise King Solomon, and he was wise because God gave him that understanding and gave him that wisdom, and he asked for it. Instead of asking for physical things, physical wealth and riches, he asked for wisdom. He asked God for wisdom. He acknowledged his own inadequacies. And he said, well, I don't even know how to go out or how to come in. I need you, Father, or you, God, to give me wisdom and to give me understanding. And God gave it to him. And notice verse 5 of Proverbs chapter 3. Trust in the Eternal with all of your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Verse 7, be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Eternal and depart from evil. Now, these are just basic instructions, but oh, how vital and how important they are. How important they are for us. Trust in God with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Isn't that what we do? We just lean to our own understanding too many of the times, and that's why we get into problems, and why we, on a grander, larger, worldwide scale, isn't that why we have these problems in the world today in so many cases? And instead of leaning to our own understanding, acknowledge God and allow him to direct our paths. Well, how is he going to do that? Well, he does it through his word. That's why we have to get to know it if we're going to be able to live by it. And of course, be humble. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear God, depart from evil, and let him direct you. Jeremiah 10 talks about it's not within man to direct his own steps. We just simply do not have it within us to direct our own steps. We have to look to God and look to God's word and strive to live by every word.
You're listening to Live By Every Word with your host, Brian Davis. We'll be back to the show in just a moment, but you can get some literature to help you with these topics. We have a correspondence course to offer you, and you can request that for free at thetrumpet.com. It's the Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course. You can understand the Bible. Herbert W. Armstrong College has been helping thousands learn the true meaning of current events and the true purpose for life through the Herbert W. Armstrong Bible Correspondence Course. Over 98,000 students from around the world have enrolled in this unique 36-lesson course of biblical understanding. And this course has been designed to guide you through a systematic study of your Bible, step by step. Takes you right through it, and the Bible is the only textbook that you need for this course. And best of all, these lessons are absolutely free. There's no cost or obligation ever. It'll just be sent to you free of charge. It's a public service. This new 16-page lessons, they'll be sent to you monthly, and you'll receive periodic tests graded by Herbert W. Armstrong College staff, and they'll help you evaluate your progress. So there's no reason to delay on that. You can go ahead and request your free enrollment in the Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course. You can begin to understand your Bible today. You can request that for free, and that's at thetrumpet.com. Thanks for joining us and listening to Live By Every Word on 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm.
This is Live By Every Word. Here is your host, Brian Davis.
Hello again, everyone. I'd like to go to Psalm 119. Now, this is a very positive and encouraging message, because as we were talking about before the break, it's simply not within man's ability to direct his own steps. We cannot lean to our own understanding. There is a plague in the human heart, and that heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, as Jeremiah 17 and verse 9 says. But there is hope. Verse 105 of Psalm 119, it reads, your word. Now, that's what we're talking about when we talk about learning to live by every word. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now, just imagine if you were in a room and it was pitch black, and you had to cross that room, and you were barefooted, and the lights were off, and there were all sorts of dangerous things on the floor, maybe knives or razor blades or glass, broken glass or something. How valuable would it be to have a flashlight? How valuable would it be to have a lamp? unto your feet, a light unto your path. I mean, that would be absolutely invaluable, and that's the way God's Word is. We live in a world that has all sorts of dangers, all sorts of evil. There's broken glass, there are razor blades, there are all sorts of things to cut us and to hurt us, and there's all sorts of danger and peril all around. And yet, we have God's Word that can be a lamp or a light, like a flashlight, to our feet, a light unto our path. Now, it's just a matter of then getting to know that Word of God and seeing what God actually says. Notice 2 Timothy 3. We have to get to know it so that we can then live by it. And God loves us and inspired these words to be written for a very great purpose. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You see, every Scripture, now people in this world, they want to throw away the Old Testament, or maybe they'll keep the Proverbs and the Psalms and say the rest of it's worthless and you don't need it. And we'll just look at the New Testament. Other people talk about, only looking at the red letters or some narrow it down to just the four Gospels. Others narrow it down even within the four Gospels to only the red letters, only the letters that are the words that Jesus Christ himself spoke. But you see, Jesus said in Matthew 4 and verse 4, live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And when he said that, there was nothing but the Old Testament. Those are the words of God. And so is the New Testament. All Scripture, indeed, as Paul wrote here, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. God has inspired all of this. It doesn't matter what man he used to write it down, whether it was Moses or whether it was Paul or John or Peter or Isaiah. It's all inspired by God, and it is profitable for us, for doctrine, for what we believe and what we base our lives on, for reproof and for correction. Yes, indeed, it should reprove us. It should correct us. It's like a mirror. We look into these Scriptures and use it like a mirror to show us where maybe there is some room for improvement, where there's some dirt on our face that needs to be cleansed and washed away, but it's not easy to be reproved or to accept correction. As a matter of fact, it's one of the hardest things for a human being to do is to admit that he's wrong. So that's certainly one of the reasons why human beings reject God's Word. They don't like to be reproved. They don't like to be corrected. And it goes on here, for instruction in righteousness. Now, if we want to know what's right, if we want to know the right way, the right paths to take, the right way to live, the right way to rear children, the right way to have a marriage and to have a family, the right way to conduct business, well, we look to God's Word for instruction in those areas, and those instructions are there if we look for it, if we study it. Verse 17 goes on, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. This is what God's Word can lead to. Of course, with the addition of God's Holy Spirit, we can actually be furnished, educated, prepared by God unto all good works. And eventually, of course, it leads even to perfection. Hebrews chapter 4, talking about the Word of God again here. Hebrews chapter 4, in verse 12, it reads, for the Word of God is quick, or it's alive, and it's powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. See, God's Word, we need to learn to use it. It is alive, it is living, and it is powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And it is a great tool that we need to use in our lives to cut through deceit and cut through lies, even self-deceit, even lies that we're clinging to. And it even is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Now, that is wonderful. That is powerful. And we need to learn what that Word of God really says, and then humbly be instructed by it, be reproved by it, be corrected by it, as we just read there in 2 Timothy 3, and to have our doctrine determined by that, not by our own thoughts, not by the thoughts of others or traditions of men, but by the Word of God, this living and powerful Word of God. Psalm 111. It's a wonderful gift, God's Word, and it can be a great blessing in our lives. Psalm 111 and verse 7, the works of His hands are verity and judgment. All His commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever and are done in truth and uprightness. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God's commandments are done in truth and in uprightness? Do you believe that all of His commandments are sure? Verse 9 says, He has commanded His covenant forever. Holy and reverent is His name. And verse 10 says, the fear of the eternal is the beginning of wisdom. You see, wisdom is something that so many people lack. Wisdom is something that is so desperately needed in our lives. And it begins with fearing God. It's just the beginning, fearing God. And this is not talking about the wrong kind of fear, but the right kind of deep respect for God and understanding His great wisdom and His great power and His great authority, and fearing to disobey Him, fearing to live this life our own way without humbly submitting ourselves to His direction and His law, His word, His government. God has given a great deal of knowledge and a great deal of instruction in His word that people so casually kick aside and reject. But fearing God is actually the beginning of wisdom. And notice this. Now, a lot of people don't have a good understanding of the Bible, even though they read it. And here's why they don't have a good understanding. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments, His praise endures forever. How many people really understand God's word? Well, very few. And this gives a very good insight into why that is. They don't do His commandments. If you're going to have a good understanding of God's word, then obey that word. Obey what God says to do. Do the commandments of God. If God says not to take His name in vain, then don't take His name in vain. If He says not to commit adultery, then don't commit adultery. If He says not to steal, then don't steal. If He says don't lie, then don't lie. If He says to keep the Sabbath day holy, then keep the Sabbath day holy, not whatever day of the week that you decide you want to keep holy. You know, you can't keep a day holy that God hasn't made holy. It's like trying to keep ice hot. You can't keep ice hot because it's not hot. You can't keep Sunday holy because God has not made Sunday holy. He said the Sabbath day, the seventh day of the week, He made holy, and then He tells us to keep it holy. So it's very important to begin obeying God, doing His commandments, and then we begin to grow in understanding, and we'll grow into having a good understanding. And again, it begins with fearing God. We'll just conclude today's program over in Acts chapter 17. Paul, he was in Berea, and the brethren there were striving to implement what God says about prove all things. And notice verse 11, and this is a good admonition for all of us. Paul was there. This is Luke writing this account, and he said, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica. He's talking about the brethren there at Berea. They were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. They received God's word with a readiness of mind. In other words, they weren't receiving it with prejudice rejecting that truth because they already had preconceived ideas. They received it with the right attitude, without prejudice, and they searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. So let's make sure that we really do study the Bible without prejudice, with the right attitude, and see whether these things are so. So until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on The Voice 101.3 KPCG and on the web at kpcg.fm.